I will not pretend I wasn't petrified. I was. But mixed in with the awful was a glorious feeling of excitement. I sat very stiff and upright in my seat. My eyes were about level with the top of the steering wheel. I could have done with a cushion to raise me up higher, but it was too late for that. The road seemed awfully narrow in the dark. I knew there was room enough for two cars to pass each other. I'd seen them from the filling station doing it a million times, but it didn't look that way to me from where I was. Was I too much in the middle of the road? Yes, I was, but I didn't want to pull in closer for fear of hitting the bank. The motor was beginning to rattle and shake. I was still in first gear. It was vital to change up into second. Well, here goes. I eased my foot off the accelerator. I pressed the clutch down and held it there. I found the gear lever and pulled it straight back from first into second. I released the clutch and pressed on the accelerator. The little car leapt forward as though it had been stung. We were in second gear. What speed were we going? I glanced at the speedometer. It said 15 miles an hour. Good, that was quite fast enough. I started figuring out how long it would take me to do 6 miles, travelling at 15 miles an hour. At 60 miles an hour, 6 miles would take 6 minutes. At 30, it would take twice as long, 12 minutes. At 15, it would take twice as long again, 24 minutes. I kept going. I knew every bit of the road, every curve and every little rise and dip. I began to worry about the motor. I knew very well it would be certain to overheat if I drove for long in either first or second gear. I must now change up into third. I took a deep breath and grasped the gear lever again. Foot off the accelerator, clutch in, gear lever up and across and up again, clutch out. I'd done it. I pressed down on the accelerator. The speedometer crept up to 30. Hazel's Wood was not on the main road. To reach it, you had to turn left through a gap in the hedge and go uphill over a bumpy track for about a quarter of a mile. I figured I must be getting pretty close to the turning place now. Suddenly, just below the rim of the night sky, I saw a splash of yellow light. This was something I'd been dreading all along. Very quickly, the light got brighter and brighter and nearer, and in a few seconds it took shape and became the long white beam of headlamps from a car rushing towards me. My turning place must be very close now. I was desperate to reach it and swing off the road before that monster reached me. I pressed my foot hard down for more speed. The little engine roared. The speedometer needle went from 30 to 35 and then to 40, but the other car was closing fast. Its headlamps were like two dazzling white eyes. They grew bigger and bigger, and suddenly the whole road in front of me was lit up as clear as daylight, and swish! The thing went past me like a bullet. It was so close, I felt the wind of it through my open window. And in that tiny fraction of a second when the two of us were alongside one another, I caught a glimpse of its white-painted body, and I knew it was the police. I didn't dare look round to see if they were stopping and coming back after me. I was certain they would stop. Any policeman in the world would stop if he suddenly passed a small boy in a tiny car chugging along a lonely road at 2:30 in the morning. I pressed my foot harder still on the accelerator. Then all at once I saw in my own dim headlamps the tiny gap in the hedge on my left-hand side. There wasn't time to brake or slow down, so I just yanked the wheel hard over and prayed. The little car swerved violently off the road, leapt through the gap, hit the rising ground, then skidded round sideways behind the hedge and stopped. The first thing I did was to switch off all my lights, and I sat very still in my dark car. The hedge was a thick one, and I couldn't see through it. The car had bounced and skidded sideways in such a way that it was now right off the track. I could hear the police car. It was backing and turning. The road was far too narrow for it to turn round in one go. Then the roar from the motor got louder, and he came back fast with engine revving and headlamps blazing. He flashed past the place where I was hiding and raced away into the night. That meant the policeman had not seen me swing off the road. But he was certain to come back again looking for me. And if he came back slowly enough, he would probably see the gap. He would stop and get out of his car. He would walk through the gap and look behind the hedge. And then his torch would shine in my face. And he would say, "What's going on, sonny? What's the big idea? Whose car is this? Where do you live? Where are your parents?" He would make me go with him to the police station, and in the end they would get the whole story out of me, and my father would be ruined. I sat quiet as a mouse and waited. I waited for a long time, Then I heard the sound of the motor coming back again in my direction. It was making a terrific noise. He was going flat out. He whizzed past me like a rocket. The way he was gunning that motor told me he was a very angry man. He must have been a very puzzled man, too. I waited to see if he would come back again. He didn't come. I switched on my lights. I pressed the starter. She started at once. I put her into gear and very gently began to ease her forward. I listened carefully for horrid noises. There were none. I managed to get her off the grass and back onto the track. I drove very slowly now. The track was extremely rough and rutted. Then, at last, ahead of me and over to the right, looking like some gigantic black creature crouching on the crest of the hill, I saw Hazel's Wood. Soon I was there. I stopped the car. I switched off the motor and the lights. I got out, taking the torch with me. I squeezed my way through a hedge, and suddenly I was right inside the wood. "Dad!" I called out. "Dad! Are you there?" My small, high voice echoed through the forest and faded away. I listened for an answer, but none came. End of side one.